This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there, Mike. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, and I want you to know that after this show and all my listeners out there, I will not come back here until next year.
Next year.
That's right. I'm taking next week off.
Well.
Kind of off. I'm not going to do as much as I normally do.
But, well, we're going to miss you.
Oh, sure. I'm sure you will. Just replay the same tape over for the people that didn't
from
listen.
Last summer.
Yeah, from last summer, an April or May, May tape would be good, you know. Well, anyway, thank you for listening, and this is a gardening show, but today, not only are you getting some gardening tips, but I got a Christmas story or two that I'll share with the fans out there, if there are any. Ben, if you do have a question, though, 673-4464 is the number to call. We'll get you on the air. You ask your question, I give you an answer. And you can believe me or not, but I won't lie to you. I will tell you the truth. And that's more than most people do that don't live around here, that live in Salem, Washington, D.C.
I was wondering how you're going to cover that up.
Well, I had to reassess the statement that was in my mind, so it came out nicer.
I understand.
Yeah, you know. But anyway, if you have a question on your garden, your pruning, your spraying, or whatever, 673-4464. And, that's what I'm going to jump right into right now, and because it is so cold, and the leaves have finally dropped, and if you want to prune something, get on it. It's time to prune those shrubs that you've ignored for the past year or two, that are overgrown, and are halfway up the window, and you can't see out the window when you're sitting in a chair. Prune them puppies down. Don't be afraid. It won't hurt them. They will thank you for that next spring. They'll be more beautiful. They'll be fuller. And if they're blooming type, they'll bloom better for you as well. And if you want more fruit, let's say you got some fruit trees in the backyard or front yard, whatever. And if you want more fruit and you're wondering, how come that tree's growing so tall and only get 12 apples off it and they're all small? Well, cut the suckers off of your fruit trees. Those are those little skinny branches that are usually at the top or the outside of the tree that grow about 2 feet and don't bear any fruit at all. And the tree is naturally going to put out energy to grow new branches. So what you want to do is short circuit that thing and cut off those suckers and cut them a little bit lower, and then thin some of the multi-branch stems out so that there's air circulation, so that with the branches that you're leaving, they're called bearing branches. Those are the ones that are actually going to bud up, flower, and bear the fruit. And when it's wide open like that, it's shorter. The energy of the tree then goes into fruit production rather than twigs and leaves production and
all the garbage,
all the stuff that it just doesn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, it takes a lot of energy to put new growth on a tree, and it takes a lot of energy to put the fruit on the tree. So get rid of one or the other, and the opposite occurs, huh? If that makes sense to you.
Bingo.
that's what you do. And like I've said in the past a few hundred times, drive around and look at the commercial orchards. Look how they prune their trees. Look how short those commercial trees are, and look how much abundant fruit that they harvest every summer and fall that we're at the different fruit stands buying the good stuff. And it's because they leave the bearing branches, that which actually bears the fruit, on, and they're cutting the ancillary growth or the sucker growth off so that the energy is strictly focused. And when you have it focused like that, that's when you get your best crops. It's that simple. You're not hurting anything. You're doing all the things right. So go look out at Cruz Farms out in Garden Valley. Just kind of drive around on some of those roads, and you'll see what they do. And the same with the grapes. If you've seen the Well, that giant grape, that vineyard, as you go over the hill on Garden Valley and you're coming down, and it's got about a billion grape plants out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at how they're pruned. Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden there's no branches on just the main stems are there.
Yeah.
That's because they're going to get more productive crops next year rather than a whole bunch of leaves. And when you grow leaves and stems, it also shades whatever fruit is produced.
Thus
it also shades
develop.
It. Exactly. So there's no sunlight or very little sunlight or no air circulation. And then when that happens, then the bugs, the disease, the fungus, whatever says, what a perfect place to camp out for the summer. Hey, we can eat these grapes, Blilber. What do you think? Yeah, it's a good place, man. I'm glad you found it.
They're all free, babe.
And they're free. We don't have to pay. Gosh. But that's what pruning is all about. And that's how you get more productivity from your fruit trees. And why have them if you're not going to enjoy them? I mean,
why waste your time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do this, even if you've driven through the orchards and maybe there's some people out there pruning, stop and talk to them. Usually they'll give you good answers, good information. But if, you know, like I say, if it all fails and you can't get a hold of somebody who's done it, call a tree company, call Wintergreen Nursery, ask them. They'll tell you what to do. There are books like at Home Depot or usually Home Depot has a lot of good gardening type books. And there will be one on pruning, how to prune your trees and shrubs. Gives you illustrated drawings, sometimes photos, actual photings, photos of before and after. This is what the tree looked like before or the shrub looked like before. This is how it looked when it was properly pruned. And you can see a world of difference and you go, I can do that. Just copy. We got a phone call?
Yep.
All right, let's have a phone call.
Let's have a phone call. Hi there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Well, I got a question about hydrangeas and roses, talking about pruning.
Yes.
How short can we prune those this time of the year?
Well, my hydrangeas that are planted in my landscape around my building, in the summer, they're probably 5 feet tall and at least 6 feet wide. And they're gorgeous. And then as soon as the leaves start to, we go into the fall seasons and the leaves start to dwindle and fall off, we prune them back to about 18 inches. So we go from 5 feet to 18 inches.
So it wouldn't hurt to take those down to 18, 20 inches.
Absolutely not. They love it. I mean, and you'll get twice as much. You'll get twice as many blooms in the following year.
And then roses. How can we prune those down?
Well, the roses are about the same. And not just down, but you want to also thin some of the branches that are too close together. You know, look at the, if you say you see two branches almost side by side, one will probably be larger than the other. We'll cut the skinny one out and leave the larger one. And, so it has more room to grow. And the less ancillary kind of twigs that you have, the healthier the ones that you leave, the healthier they will be the following spring and summer. And it's the same way with roses. You can't hurt a rose. I've pruned them to the ground. I've tried it on purpose. I've pruned them to the ground trying to kill them, and they come back gangbusters. I mean, but I wouldn't suggest you do that. Prune them down to about a foot to, say, 18 inches, and also thin out the ancillary branches that are, you know, little twigs, and they just take energy. You want to leave, say, 3 to 5 main stems, and they'll grow all new growth for you this coming spring.
Now, if they were pruned down, 6 weeks ago or so, to maybe 2 feet, three feet, and they're sending out new growth, it's not going to hurt it to prune it again?
No, it will not. You can prune roses pretty near year-round. We prune ours in the summer. I have a lot of clients that have roses, and they'll have a fresh fresh bunch of flowers, and then the flowers start to fade. And if the shrub is too big, we'll just prune it down for them, and within weeks they've got new flowers on them.
Thank you, Mike. We'll wish you a Merry Christmas, and we'll start pruning.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. And it works. Thanks. Trust me, it works.
We're gonna go for it.
Good.
All right.
Okay. Bye bye.
Thank you. Yeah, even an old lawnmower won't hurt them.
That's right. I've cut them down. Right, I've talked about that rose hedge. Yeah. I attacked in front of my old house. I thought, I'm going to kill that sucker. I hate it. You know, pruned it right down to the ground with my chainsaw. And I thought, yeah, good, you're dead.
Yeah, right.
A month later, they were a foot tall, and they were beautiful looking. And 6 weeks later, they had flowers all over them, and they bloomed all the way through Christmas.
Oh, and they said, thank you very much.
Yeah, so it's about time somebody pruned us. I thought, I guess you can't kill them.
I've told you the stories of Dad trying to kill them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it never works, does it?
Never works.
They grow in spite of us, not because of us. And they say, you can't hurt me.
In fact, that old rosebush he tried to kill is still out there.
Yeah, but, you know, like the gentleman just asked, you know, there's you get a rose and it'll have maybe 30 stems on it coming up. Well, you don't need 30. Leave 5 or 7 good ones and take all the rest of them out. Because next year, at the end of next year, you say, I thought I pruned that. and you'll have just as many coming back. And you can prune them during the year. Of course, when you got some beautiful roses on there, you cut the roses, go ahead and leave some stem on the rose, and you just kind of uniformly prune it down. It just pushes more.
Does it?
Yeah, it just pushes more. Within weeks, you'll have more roses.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought once you cut one off, it was
No, it just, wherever you do the cut, it sends out a side branch, and then the side branch becomes a main branch, and then pretty soon there's a bud on it, and pretty soon it opens up, and you got another beautiful rose.
Hmm.
You know, three weeks, 4 at the most, maybe, depending on the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. So, roses has got to be the toughest things in the world. You know, they have to be.
Yeah.
And they got thorns, too.
Oh, man, that adds to the ingredient.
Yeah, it does. But anyway, like I say, I mentioned earlier the plant books and the gardening books at like Home Depot or any other box store, they'll have one specifically on roses. You know, the whole magazine will be just on roses. Show you, you know, tell you what types they are, where they come from, how to plant them, how to prune them, how to fertilize them, how to pick them, whatever. And there's pictures, right, you know, in the book. There's photos. And so this was what, and this is what it is now. Mm-hmm. And it shows you exactly what I was just, you know, conveying to that gentleman.
Yeah.
And usually, for me at least, if I see a picture or something, I got her.
Yeah.
Sometimes people explain stuff to me and I go, right, okay.
Can't comprehend that. Got to see
no
it.
Comprehendo. No sé, okay, Jose, yes.
Oh, Lord.
So buy a book on pruning. But then after everything's pruned, you prune your fruit trees, you prune your shrubs, you prune your roses, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Spray with a dormant spray. That will cut down on the fungus. That will cut down on bugs that are lurking, waiting for you to do something.
Meal.
Yeah, right. But spray them with a dormant spray. And there are so many different sprays out there. Just read the label, see what it does, see how it works. And like our our trees and our nursery, we spray the whole place in the winter. We spray it again in January. We spray it again in February. And we just use a dormant spray. And that just kind of takes out 90% of the so-called diseases and fungus and bacteria that seem to want to attack them.
So, my grandmother used to spray it with vinegar and water.
Yeah, that works. It does.
It?
Yeah, it works.
I thought she was kind of bing-bong.
I mean, the plants smell bad, but so what?
Now I know why your apartment smelled.
Well, see, you know, in the olden days, before all this, new and cool chemicals came out, people did spray with, you know, vinegar. There's a few other I've read about that they used on weeds and, you know, Clorox. If you use Clorox and spray weeds with Clorox, those puppies don't live. They just shrivel up right now, especially if it's warm and sunny. Yeah, straight Clorox in the sprayer or half and half or whatever. Yeah. Hey, put some on your hand. See what it does to your hand.
Yeah, it just...
Yeah, right. It just kind of shrivels your hand up. You go, wow, I got a hole in my hand. Well, what do you think it does to those leaves on those weeds and stuff like that? You know, that's the way it is. Do we have a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
We'll be right back. Couple of minutes. Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show. Telephone number 541-673-4464.
Yeah, I always forget the 541. I don't know why. Everybody knows that, but
If
you're new, I'll say 541.
Okay. We'll be right back.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, on a cool wintry day in the valley.
Is it wintry?
Yeah, I'd say it's cold, cool, chilly.
Really? Oh, I hadn't noticed.
We'll play this back in the middle of summer now.
Yeah, good. Anyway, I've been talking about pruning and spraying your fruit trees and shrubs and you know, trying to get you an edge for next spring, get a jump on all the diseases and everything else here in our Mediterranean climate. So, like I was talking about in the last segment, you spray with the dormant spray, and that's kind of an overall one shot doesn't do it, but at least it helps, and it doesn't hurt anything, and it'll help keep the fungus and the bacteria down. Maybe not totally erase it, but it's a step in the right direction.
And I learned that Grandma was in the right direction with her vinegar and water.
Yeah, it really helps. Mm. So now, and here's the bottom line: if you got these trees, you've got shrubs and stuff, and if you don't prune them or spray them, there's no point in having fruit trees in your yard, because they'll always be buggy or wormy or overgrown, or the apples will be little dinky things, or the plums or peaches or whatever.
Deer probably won't even eat.
Yeah, the deer won't. They go, what? Is that the best this guy could do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go next door where they take care of their trees. They're much better and much tastier.
Follow me, Rudolph.
Yeah. Put your red nose in. Anyway, make a note to fertilize your trees and shrubs sometime like in February or early March. You know, give them a good shot of a well-balanced fertilizer, a granular fertilizer. And because this is the time when the root systems are coming out of their dormancy, they're beginning to wake up and say, "Hey, it's warmer. What's happening?" So, get a good quality fertilizer, not one on sale for half price, because they usually are half price because they're no good, and they don't do what the package says they'll do. It's somebody's fantasy. And if you feed your plants at least twice a year, they'll be stronger, they'll be healthier, they're able to resist more diseases or bug attacks and those kinds of things. They'll have better leaves, they'll be a prettier tree, and if they're a flowering tree, they'll have better flowers, more flowers, and fruit. And if you you know, just a few simple things, and get it done. You know, my one of my neighbors, not next door neighbor, but he's down the road from my nursery, is Brosai Farms.
Oh.
And I do a little couple little things for him once in a while, and I met him, I guess it was last week. He was out pruning one of his orchards,
mm-hmm.
and we got to talking about pruning and stuff, and I said, well, how many trees you got, Mark? He said, 11,000.
That's
11,000.
Whoa. 11, I almost swore on that one.
11,000 fruit trees to prune. Yeah. And they just, once you start, you march right through it. But, you know, he's in the business. That's what he does. And so Cruz, if you go out by Cruz's and look,
yeah.
he's got maybe 40,000
trees. Gosh.
You know, it's farming is, you know, it's big business, but also a lot of work. A lot of hand work. And there's some mechanical things you can use, but most of the pruning and things like that is
labor
intensive.
Not for us, my old man here.
No, I do it, but I do it slowly now.
Oh.
But anyway, if you do it, you're going to have a better tree, a better mm-hmm. shrub, a better crop. So think about it in that ways. And yeah. young trees will benefit by regular feeding in the first 3 to 5 years. Once after 5 years and they're established and they're working, you can kind of get by with not, because their root system is so well developed at that time. And if you've been doing regular fertilizing, say for the first 3 to 5 years, that's usually a great start, and they're getting the nutrition that they need naturally at that point.
Mm, cool.
Now, here's the deal. Now, if you want to buy fruit trees, your best time, your best deal is in bare root tree season. That's going to be next month. At the end of next month, that's when we get all our bare root fruit trees, shade trees, flowering trees, et cetera. But the last week in January, we get them. And the reason they're a good deal is simply because they're less expensive, number one, and they're easier to handle because they're light, because they're not in a pot. They're not in a container full of soil. The roots are bare. When we get them, we have rows of the trees, and we have the sawdust or bark mulch, whatever, up around to the top of the root crown. So the roots stay nice and moist, and the tree is standing up. So you can walk along and say, yeah, I want that one, and the third one, and the eighth one. And we just pull them right out of the sawdust. They're dormant. It's usually cool and rainy or foggy. Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, three trees you can pick up almost in one hand because they're light.
Right.
Well, we're a potted fruit tree. It takes sometimes two men to pick it up and put it in your vehicle. But you can put these bare root trees in the back of your station wagon or in the back seat. I've had people put them in. They say, well, let's put them in the back seat. And so we'll put the roots in a plastic sack, and then we'll just wrap it up and lay them in the back seat.
How about a Volkswagen?
No problem. No problem. We just hang them out the windows, and they can hit people as they drive by. No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, some of them are not. Some of them, you know, are 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet. And so there's ample opportunity. I've had people put the roots in the front seat with the branches
into the back.
Right.
Yeah.
And you put 3 or 4 or 5 fruit trees in there. Now, shade trees are taller and they're bigger and all that. So you should have a pickup truck or a trailer or something like that to haul them. But they're still light. They're not 150 pounds. They're like 10 pounds.
Yeah, they're not mature.
Or 15
yet.
Pounds. Yeah, they're not mature. And they're dormant. And you can take them home. You don't have to plant them that day. You can sit them behind the garage or something and cover them with a blanket or, some old tarps. I mean, not tarps, but burlap or something
like that.
There
you go.
And then wet that down so the roots don't dry out, and they're good to go. And maybe it takes you a week to plant to dig all the holes, get all the holes ready, get the soil ready, then get the trees out and just pop them in, bing, 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 because all the heavy labor, all the long-term labor has already been done, and so the tree's not just sitting out with its roots in the air in case it's a little warmer, and then you just put them in and they're good to go.
Cool.
You water them in with B1, which is a root starter, and they're going to do well for you.
Nice.
It's that simple. And we have grapes that way. We have other shrubs that are bare root, and it's like I say, it's less expensive. It's easily half the price of a pot, because by the time you pot one,
right,
you got the soil, you got the labor, you got the price of the pot, mm-hmm. and then you got the time that you don't pot it and sell it the next day. You pot it and you don't sell it for at least 4 months because it has to fully root out,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure when
it
the person
has to get settled in, so
yeah,
to
settled
speak.
In, has roots growing and everything else, so that whoever buys it just doesn't pull it out and all the soil falls away. You know,
yeah.
you want it to hang together. So bare root season is a good time. And you can buy a $50 tree for $25. You can buy a $100 tree for $50. I mean, that's
a bargain.
It is a bargain. And these are good quality Oregon-grown trees. I don't buy them out of California or Utah or New York.
China.
I buy them out of the Willamette Valley. And we've got, you know, the best nursery growers here in the United States, right here in the state of Oregon. That's the best thing about Oregon, is we've got great, great growers that grow great trees and shrubs. So, think about it. Last week in January, that's when bare root season starts. That's when we first get our bare roots into the first week in February, and that whole thing will last, depending on the weather, maybe to the end of March, you know. Right. So you got like 2 months to come down, look at the trees, get your holes ready, dig your holes first before you ever come and get the trees, you know, be
you
prepared
go.
So you take them right home, stick them in, and they don't even know they've been moved.
Yeah.
You know, that would
make sense.
Yeah, and that's how it is. And then when you are ready to plant them, make sure that your soil is nice and loose and friable. Like a good combination would be a little bit of potting soil, a little bit of fine ground bark, and say a little bit of sand, and mix that all together, and you put that in the hole, and that way there's no air pockets. All the roots are covered tightly with the soil mix. You can't put chunks of wet clay in there and expect those things to live. It won't work.
Well,
okay?
They can't get through it.
No, they can't get through it, and there's air pockets.
Yeah.
And the air pockets around the roots, what'll happen, they'll look really good till about July. We get some 100-degree days. Well, that hot air gets down into that root system where there are air pockets and dries out the roots and kills the tree. So the better you make your soil, the better productivity you're going to have from your tree.
Now, grapes, I had a question on grapes.
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of like roses? You can't really kill them either?
No, you can't kill a grape.
That's what I thought, because Dad never paid any attention to those grapes, and they kept growing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we prune ours. I got one line of grapes out there in the back of my field. And, you know, we whacked them puppies back, and there's more grapes than five families can eat off of, 10 vines or something like that.
Not very many.
No. And the birds love the place.
Oh, know? I'll bet.
They're hanging in there all the time, man. They're just going, whoa.
Oh, it's that time again.
Yeah. Hey, the grapes are ready, Bob. Okay, let's go get them. But like I say, when you plant these bare root trees, make sure the hole is wider and deeper than the spread of the root system, you know, by at least 6 inches all the way around. That way they've got plenty of room. They're not cramped. You just don't dig a small hole and stuff them in so the roots are all bent out of shape. It's not productive to
no.
tree growth or shrub growth. So you just do some... you know, some good common sense planting, and do the best you can for the tree, and that tree or that shrub is going to grow roots very quickly and get ready to go, and not going to have a problem.
Is this a good time for a break?
If you say so.
You're
running the show, man.
Well, that's what they tell us.
Yeah.
I can't say anything as a KQEN censorship.
Well, I never say anything wrong. So
neither do I. But I have. We'll be back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. 541-673-4464. That's the number to get in touch with Mike. And you know just about everything as far as...
Oh, yeah, almost everything, right.
The guru of...
Grubs. No, there's so much information out there on plants and stuff. If you, you know, while away books... stores over there, and I go in there, and on Harvard, they got a rack 10 feet tall and 5-6 feet wide just on different types of planting and plants and all that. And every once in a while, I'll go over there and I'll buy one of their books that I had never seen before, just to browse through it and look at it and say, wow, I didn't know that. I mean, here's these old time authors, some of them are, you know, from the 50s and the 60s.
They're dead and buried, but they're
the words are right there on the page, and you go, "Yeah, that makes sense." And you try it, and it works.
Yeah,
and you know, then in our day, they've got all the more chemical type things in there, like you were talking earlier with the vinegar
and water.
It works. Now, I was talking about the bare root trees and the soil and the planting, and again, I stress this: most important is not to overwater. Too much water will cause the roots to rot and the tree or the shrub will die. Okay?
Don't want that.
Simple. Keep it damp, no more than damp, barely damp. And, you know, you can water probably more freely in June, July, and August, but up until then, you don't want to.
You probably don't have to water a whole lot.
No. In fact, any of the things I plant at my place, I don't even think about watering until maybe June 1st, first part of June.
Yeah.
And I planted them, say, in. You know, October or February.
It stays pretty wet.
Oh, yeah, it does. And, you know, it's dry on top. Well, don't judge the dryness on top. That's how it is a foot down.
It isn't. Right. It ain't that way.
A foot down is wet, okay?
Yeah.
So don't do it. You can always add water, okay? Yep. But you can't take it out once it's in. You cannot. There's no way you can take it out. And just like I say, most plant problems come from too much water or too much fertilizer. So don't be generous on either one of them. Meter it out a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. That's how it works. So anyway.
Got any Christmas stories you're going to share
with
us?
There's something else here I wanted to talk about, I think. Well, let's talk Christmas tree stuff here.
Okay.
The cut Christmas tree sales are pretty much down in Douglas County this year.
Mm.
You know, I remember when there were, like, tree lots in every corner.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I haven't seen any.
Boy Scouts.
I don't think.
And no. There's one... one over by the Lions are selling See's candy. I think it was a Boy Scout one.
Oh, over by Sherm's?
Yeah, right in front of Sherm's parking lot. But that's the only one. Usually I've seen on that road right there, in Stewart Parkway, there used to be a big one in the Kmart shopping in the parking lot there.
Yeah.
It had lots of stuff. And then there would be one at Sherm's, and there would be one across the street up by the medical offices, and then there would be trees at Walmart. There would be trees at, you know, a whole
various
bunch of,
little markets.
Yeah, and that's just one street.
Right.
And as you go around, you see in Winston and just out in the suburbs, you see Christmas tree lots everywhere. There ain't there this year.
You're right. I haven't really thought about it, but yeah.
Yeah, well, since... You know, I'm tuned into that. What happened to all the Christmas tree lots?
I'm still thinking Christmas is far away.
Yeah, it is. Next
Thursday. No, Friday.
Day after tomorrow, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, it's far away, all right, if you're thinking minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have some guesses, of course, on why. You know, I think one of them is because of our governor's mandates in the agricultural tree community and in a nursery community, there's a lot of restrictions on your laborers and what kind of protective gear they have to wear and what you have to supply to them and all that because of this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an expensive proposition. So if you got 20,000 Christmas trees out there, and it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to cut them and pack them and take them to L.A. or wherever. Maybe you don't want to do it this year. Maybe say, hey, I can't
wait till next year, maybe.
Yeah, wait till next year, because there's just a lot of overhead. There's just a lot of expense.
Yeah.
And like I say, I think it's just because of the COVID stuff, and our governor seems to like to clamp down on business really well. And say, no, you can't do that unless you're
going to get
business.
Me in trouble.
No, I'm okay. The one. Mike Winters is the one speaking. Okay,
Dale is not saying anything.
Dale is not saying a word. In fact, he's running. Come back, Dale. Come back. But you know, these large stores, Freddy's, Walmart, all those big ones, they're going full tilt. There's no quote restrictions, if you will, where we got little mom and pop grocery store and little restaurants and stuff like that. Oh, no, they're closed down tighter than a tick. So, you know, I'm not in love with her at all. I think she's done a large disservice to our state.
But she thanks us for doing a good job of slowing the spread of COVID-19.
Slowing, yeah, right, okay. But she's also hurting our economy and hurting people, and people especially, you know, renters and things like that. They can't pay their rent, possibly. And the guy that owns the house can't make his payments because his renters aren't, you know, it's just such a snowball
effect. Vicious circle.
Exactly, exactly. But the ag community has suffered from that. And, of course, business in general. And, you know, there's just a lot of regulation and fear throughout the state. So, because we used to sell hundreds of Christmas trees each year at our nursery. I mean, you know, not hundreds, but, you know, a couple of hundred.
Sure.
but since the advent of fake trees made in China,
China,
by the way,
baby.
Yeah. The real tree industry has taken a hit. And then you get the COVID stuff on top of it. You've got all the restrictions on top of that. And, you know, you just, there's just too much to deal with. And a lot of folks, they don't make a lot of money selling trees on Kmart parking lot.
Very marginal.
Yeah, very marginal. And it's their own labor, and they're there in their camp trailer and all that kind of stuff for 2 weeks or whatever.
And they're paying for all of that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So what's the point in doing it? Because I can't sell as many, or it's a whole lot of work for very little return on your investment.
If any.
Yeah. And so that's why there a lot of these used-to-be trees are non-existent. And this year, we could see the writing on the wall, and we only bought in 20 trees. That's it.
You still have them?
No, I'm sold out.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because all my old customers come in and buy trees from me because I got good trees. I got good trees.
The top of the line.
Yeah, but... we didn't have the rush on trees that we normally do, so only getting 20 nice trees was good enough. And okay, that's how it goes, and we'll just play it by ear for the next year.
Right.
And when you see, well, gee whiz, why should we buy 50 trees at a whack and until we get a couple hundred trees in here and you burn 150 of them.
That's a waste.
Yeah, that's a big hit because they ain't cheap. Buying them wholesale ain't cheap either. But anyway, when the Christmas season is over, I'm sure I'll get some real industry numbers about how the Christmas tree industry in Oregon did, because I get all these magazines with all those numbers in them and stuff like that. But it's big business here. Now maybe they're being okay with their sales to other states. Maybe that's better.
Arizona or whatever.
Yeah, Arizona, Southern Cal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Texas. My daughter bought a tree, I don't know, it was last year or the year before, the one lives down in the Austin area. Uh-huh. She called me up. She says, guess what? I bought my Christmas tree today. I said, yeah, what'd you get? She said, oh, I got a noble fir. She said, know where it was from? I said, no. She says, I think she said... Canby or somewhere up north here.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a Silver Springs Tree Farm, Canby, Oregon, on the tag.
Little piece of home.
Yeah, a little piece of home down in Austin, Texas. Jeez Louise. But, you know, it's amazing. Now, here's the flip side of that, and I don't know why, again. On the other hand, our floral shop is doing an amazing amount of sales. I mean, we're selling, and we can't keep up with the demand, and there's like three of us delivering flowers and all that, and, you know, my Canvas Valley
trips.
Like
Mother's Day or something.
Oh, yeah. It's been crazy a whole month now since Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And, you know, we're here's the rub on that. Mm-hmm. Our suppliers are running out of material. And
great.
So we order, you know, 14 different types of flowers,
right.
And we only get seven or only get eight types because, we're all the way out. So my wife goes to Safeway or Freddy's and buys those groups of flowers there just to fulfill our orders. And, you know, if you're going to have the orders, you got to do something, you know?
Yeah.
And, this December has been outstanding for bouquets and poinsettias, and it's just been a record breaker for our flora shop.
I noticed Walmart, not in Roseburg here, but up north, they had a whole floor of poinsettias.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
more
than I've ever seen in one place.
Oh, yeah, I know. They of course, they get, you know, better prices, and they order from wherever, and so Walmart only does $4 billion a year.
Oh, that's yeah. They're hurting. They're hurting.
So, yeah, they can do that. You know.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay, a little story here. Let's see. I got time for the story.
We got a break.
We got a break. Okay, I'll do the story after. It's a Christmas story.
We got a tease Christmas story. On the other side of the break, Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show, right here. Don't go anywhere. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And thanks for hanging in there with us. Without further ado, here is a Christmas story.
Yeah, it's kind of a Christmas story. It's true. All of it's true, by the way.
Okay.
When I was, I think fourth grader, fourth, fifth, sixth grader in there. But in fourth grade, we lived on the top of a mountain.
Was Lincoln president then?
Lincoln was president. He built our log cabin for us. No. You smart aleck. But we lived on top of a mountain about 6 miles from the town of Butte Falls. Butte Falls, population 300. Now, Butte Falls is about 32, 35 miles east of Medford, up in the top of the Cascades. And if you went out Highway 62 towards Eagle Point and went past Eagle Point another 5 or 6 miles, there's a sign that says Butte Falls Highway. You take a right and you go all, and then it starts climbing immediately. A beautiful country. It climbs right up there to the big timber. Anyway, we lived up in that country. My dad, he called it a ranch, but it was a tree farm, if you will. Nothing but trees. And it was 120 acres.
Wow.
And let's see, when he bought it, I think he paid $2,500 for that.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I'll be darned.
Acres. It was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous. And like I said, I was 10 years old, 9, 10 years old. I mean, I was a mountain
kid.
You
were in heaven.
I was in heaven, man. That was really cool. But, you know, up there in Butte Falls, like I say, population 300, there's mostly loggers and state forestry. So not many jobs for a 10-year-old boy.
No.
So I sold Christmas trees to the loggers.
There you go.
Yeah, way back then. Now, these guys work in the woods every day, right? But they would buy Christmas trees from me. I didn't have a big bunch. But see, my dad worked for Medco Corporation. Medco down there in those days was the equivalent of Roseburg Forest Products here.
Okay.
So Medco was the big dude in Jackson County, timber and all that kind of stuff. And my dad worked, he was a foreman on they called the Gandy Dancers, where they were all logging with railroad and so they made sure that the tracks were good and all the way through the mountains, and they made sure, you know, things were working and new culverts and, you know, kept the operations kind of going.
Yeah.
And so we'd have to take, my mom would have to take my dad into town and drop him off, and then get the crew and the crummy and go to work, and then in the afternoon we'd come in and pick him up. And I was going to Butte Falls Elementary just down the road, so I'd go meet my mom at the one cafe in town, and she'd buy me a milkshake or something, and woo-hoo, man, that was good. They weren't a quarter, but still it was good.
Good,
and
yeah,
they were big. But anyway, as the crews started coming in, the post office was right next door to the cafe, so the crews were getting their mail and stuff like that, and I let it be known that I was selling Christmas trees.
Smart.
Yeah, and some of them took pity on this little skinny 10-year-old kid and said, yeah, buy one for me. How much are they? I said, well, 50 cents for a small one and $1 for a big one. And they said, well, how big's a big one? I don't know, 6 feet, buck. And about a small one, about 3 feet, 4 feet. Okay. So I got these orders and went up and on our property and picked out some nice trees and cut them with my little handsaw. We'd take them in the town and they'd get off work and they'd give me the dollar and they'd say, yeah, it's a mighty fine tree, you know? And I was the only Christmas tree salesman in Butte Falls.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you have a permit?
No, I didn't get a permit. I didn't get a license or nothing. Of course, back in them days, you didn't have to have that kind of stuff.
It was more free back then.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, there were not many jobs for 10-year-old kids around there. And so like I say, everybody worked in the woods. I mean, and in Butte Falls, there was one grocery store, one cafe, one tavern. And so I talked to all of those people.
Only one tavern?
One tavern, yeah. Huh. The Butte Falls Tavern, that was it, baby. And I think that year I sold 5 or 6 trees.
And, well, you were rich.
Oh, I was. I mean, the big money at a buck a shot. You know, that's
a lot of money in those days.
Oh, yeah. And that include delivery. And I would bring them in the town the next day when my mom, or, you know, cut them and then bring them into town. And when the loggers and the woods guys got off, they'd come up to the truck because we'd parked there by the cafe. And they'd get their trees and pay me the buck and go home. And I even sold mistletoe for 25 cents a bag. I don't think we had plastic bags. We had paper bags. But we had a million trees with mistletoe on them. So I'd cut a big chunk of mistletoe and they'd buy that. And that was a quarter.
So they'd be happy.
Yeah. So I had shopping money for Christmas.
There you go.
At the Butte Falls store. Mr. and Mrs. Pringle. Owned the Butte Falls General Grocery there. And then I had, like I say, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 bucks from selling trees, but I also, I had money from my trap line as well. I was running a trap line on our property.
Yeah.
And back in those days, there was a $1 bounty on porcupines. Yeah. Yeah. and you brought the nose in, you took the nose off the porcupine, and you would bring it to the state forester's office, which was on the end of town, and they paid you in cash.
Nice.
A buck a nose. So I had saved a bunch of that, a bunch, like, you know, $5. So I had, like, maybe $10, $11 to go Christmas shopping
with.
That's
like 200 now.
Oh, yeah, 300. And so I was rolling in the dough. And but nowadays, you know, Christmas trees prices are a whole lot higher. But you know what? The net profit is about the same.
About the same, yeah. That's true.
But it's kind of interesting. Up on the mountain where we lived. And we got time?
Yep. Got about a minute.
Okay. Well, we lived in this house that my mom and dad and I built, all of us together. We heated with wood. My mom cooked and baked on a wood stove. Our lights were Coleman lanterns. The bathroom was behind the house up the hill a little bit.
The old outhouse.
Yes. No heat, no lights up there in the outhouse. And my main chores were carrying water from the spring and making sure my mom had kindling and cooking wood.
Wow.
And, you know, and as I reminisce about that and I think about that, I remember being happy back then. And I have a lot of great memories of that kind of boyhood. And we had nothing, you know. We had a 56 Chevy pickup. That's the only rig we had.
Yeah. And sometimes it wouldn't start.
Yeah. And one time I blew out all the tires getting stuck in the ditch. They taught me how to drive when I was 9. Yeah.
And you blew out the
tires. And I was turning around in front of the house, and there's a little ditch. So I just put it was a 3-speed off the column, and I just boom, blew both of them out. Fortunately, my mother took the blame.
Did she?
Oh, yeah, she did. She was good. And a neighbor helped us who lived a couple miles down the road. And, you know, we got them fixed before my dad found out.
Oh, you were lucky.
Lucky. I was, yeah, lucky.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners. And thank you for listening. And I hope you get stuff out of this. And I hope you learn something. And if you need to know something else, please call. Tell me what it is. It'll help me out greatly. Merry Christmas.